Hey y'all, I'm Shelby, a marketer, creative, wordsmith, and world-class talker.
And I'm Erica, a project manager, creative, interior designer, and world-class hype woman. And we are the hosts of the All Things Melanin podcast.
This is a safe space for open, honest, and transparent conversations of the norm.
We share our journey of navigating all aspects of life, and we ain't holding back. Now let's get into this week's episode. Erica.
Hey, Shelby.
What's good? What's popping? What's happening? What's right with you today, friend?
Girl, the only thing right with me is this Mai Tai I got in my hand. It is what, 7:45 p.m. Central Time on a Tuesday? So I have my little Mai Tai. It's actually really good, the tiki rum. So it's been one of those kind of days. But you know what? This gonna get me right. So, I mean, they're not paying me to say that, but no, I'm cool. It's just one of those days. So I'm like, let me just relax. I'm glad I'm here because I love doing this with you. What's right with you?
Well, I can understand that we all have them days. Sometimes it just be like that, but tomorrow's a new day and a margarita fixes or my fixes mostly. So cheers right to you. I am sipping on water and lemon juice. Very tasty. But what's wrong with me? Girl, I feel like I'm in this season where like I just have like so much going on and I'm trying to figure out like what's the most important thing that needs to get done, but everything needs to get done. But whatever. But I think the positive thing is I have an upcoming vacation coming up in Mexico. So I'm super excited about that. And then in the next coming months, we're going to hang out and do some fun stuff. So I'm excited about that. And so overall, I'm blessed. I'm highly favored. I'm happy. I have no complaints. Like the old folks say, it don't do no good to complain anyway.
That's right. You're right about it.
Okay, friend. So now that we have done our mental health check-in or just our regular check-in with our melanin fan, are you ready for the question of the day?
I am ready.
Okay. So as y'all know, we say this all the time, but me and Erica are friends in real life. And one thing that I love about like our friendship is that like Erica and I be outside. Like we really was outside pre-pandemic and I'm looking forward to being outside now. So the question is, friend, what's something that we should add to our friend bucket list that we haven't done that you want us to do together? It could be anything. It could be one or two things. Just what are you thinking?
You know what? When I was thinking about this, I had a hard time answering because I feel like we've done so much. Like you said, we be outside for real, for real. So, one of the things that popped up first was a ski trip. I feel like never done that. I've never skied before, but I mean, I ain't saying we getting out there on the mountains and doing all that, but like a cabin in the snow, just real glamorous and cute in our ski outfits in the hot tub or something like that. I think that would be fun. Obviously that probably would be like a group thing, but it was really hard for me to answer this because we have literally done so much. Like my Snapchat be reminding me of all the concerts we've gone to, all of like the little candle making things we've tried. And it was funny because recently, oh, for those of you who don't know, Shelby and I don't live in the same city anymore. So it's harder for us to get together as often. But we used to always go to R&B concerts. So literally the other day, Jagged Edge came into concert here. And I was like, dang, where is Shelby? Because I found out about it like literally the day before the concert. So I was like, yeah, that ain't going to work for me to try to get you to come up here and go with me. I was literally going to go by myself or I was going to drag my mom with me. But she was like, nah, I'm not trying to go there. And Jagged Edge going to be probably gyrating. I'm just not doing it. I'm like, okay, mom. So anyway, my point is when little things come through the town like that, Shelby and I usually are the first ones there. So another thing too that I will say is already on what was on in my bucket list mind that we're already going to do is go to the Usher concert that he's going on this new tour. So we're going to go to that, see him perform around October. So I think that would be something we could check off. What about you?
I love that, friend. And I agree. I think like when I was thinking about this, Erica and I are those friends that, like, if we tell you we're gonna do something, it's already gonna be done. And then if you're like, oh, I can't go, we do not care. We are still going. People have messed around and found out that Erica and I will go by ourselves and not care. And so that's what I love about our friendship. I love all the ideas. I love the idea of the ski trip because that's literally something that we haven't done together. So I think that'll be fun. Thank you for sharing that because I'm already planning it in my mind. Maybe that's something we can do for 2025. I can make it happen. I think two things that I thought of. One that we're already planning to do, but I think that I shared this with Erica like a few months ago. I want us to go and get like permanent jewelry together. I don't think I'm ready for a tattoo. I don't really want a tattoo, but I can do permanent jewelry. So I think it'll be fun for us to go and do that together. What type of permanent jewelry? I don't really know. I'm open, but I think it'll be fun just for us to do that together. The other thing is I think we're all I want us to go. I think we always do like, trips with our friends, and I love trips with our friends, but I think just because I'm not back in the city yet, but it's coming. I would really like us to go like on a like a just like an us vacation to like somewhere that we've never been for like 2 or 3 days. And like it doesn't even matter where, but like probably preferably a beach.
Yes.
And just like relax and like do like an unplugged vacation, like minus like our parents being able to get in touch with us, but like just go on a vacation and genuinely just like unplug from everything, reset, have new experiences, and just have a good time. I think that would be really fun. That's what's currently on the bucket list.
Yes, y'all, we be out here living our lives because when honestly, Shelby, when the pandemic came and we was all stuck in the house, I had no choice but to look at like old pictures, old videos, and we were really in the streets. I mean, in a classy way, but we was in these streets living our lives. So I'm just like, for anybody listening, don't wait on nobody to do nothing. If you want to do something, just go ahead and do it, you know, get that experience. So another thing that we have experienced is dating and relationships. So let's get into the first segment. So lately, quite a few people have been talking about low maintenance friendships. Low maintenance friendships thrive without constant communication or frequent meetups. This type of friendship is said to be valuable in quality over quantity. So, Shelby, what do you think of low maintenance friendships, and do you think they're healthy or toxic?
Okay, I know the girls like to tussle over this because I've been seeing people talk about it on social media. So please know that this is my personal opinion. I think like low maintenance friendships, in my opinion, are BS. Like, I don't think that, like, I don't feel like those are good friendships. I feel like even if you don't talk to your friend every single day, and I get it because we're in our 30s, right? So, like, we have friends that are married. We have friends that are married with children. We have friends that have relationships. We have friends that are single. We have friends that are, building businesses and doing things. And so, everybody is at a different stage in their life. The thing that I have realized and learned is that, like, and I think I've said this in the past, and I'm gonna stand 10 toes down on it and stand on business, is that, like, friendships take work. Like, the same amount of energy and time that you put into dating and having a relationship and a partner, you have to put into friendships. If you do not water something, it will not grow, it will not flourish, and it will not be healthy. And so if you're not putting into something and you're not building and nourishing and whatever that looks like for you, that friendship is not going to flourish. Somebody's going to feel some type of way. You're going to fall out. You're gonna float apart. You're gonna do all those things. So I personally don't believe in low maintenance friendships. I think they're BS. I think they're lazy. And I think people who say that, oh, I'm a low maintenance friend, I think that's a bad friend. That's just my personal opinion. Now, I will say that I think that within your friend group, that there are different levels of friendship. And one thing that I've had to learn, and me and Erica have had this discussion so many times, is that, like, everybody's not going to friend like you friend, and everybody's not going to put into it what you put into it. So I personally evaluate my friends all the time and they don't even know it. And not in a negative way, but I'm always asking, like, who am I pouring into? Who's reciprocating? Who can I actually really, really count on? Because let me tell you something, people will say, oh, you can call me whenever, or I'm gonna always be here. But when push comes to shove and the rubber meets the road, they ain't nowhere to be found. And they're like, oh, what did you want? I don't even want to talk no more. I don't even want anything anymore. So I think that if that works for you, that's fine. But as for me and my house and me and my relationships, those aren't a thing. I think that, like I said, I think that friendships thrive off being present. And I don't think that, like, you necessarily have to talk to a person every single day. But I do think that you have to put in the work and you have to water it and you have to nurture it. And so when I think of that, some things that I think of, like, you know, like having like at least like monthly or bi-monthly touch points with your friends. Maybe that's sending your friends memes. Maybe that's texting your friends and checking on them. Maybe that's, you know, sending them voice notes or Snapchats, or, you know, making sure that you get together a certain amount of time of the year. I think that's really important. I saw this girl on TikTok. She was talking about friendships. Her name is Shayma. And she was talking about how a lot of her friends have are married. And they have children. And she was talking to her therapist. And in talking to her therapist, you know, she was just talking about how, you know, she's single, and she's dating, but a lot of her friends are married and have children or whatever the case may be. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, she'll try to accommodate them, obviously, because they have kids. So she'll do stuff during the day or while they're at daycare and stuff like that. I'm paraphrasing you guys, so please don't eat me up. So anyway, her therapist was talking to her. And she essentially says, this is what she said. She said that you are worth getting a babysitter for. And I was like, that's good. And it made me start to think of, like, and I say that to say that no matter what stage of life your friend is in, we're obviously not going to be able to hang out when we were in high school or when we were in college. These bills got to be paid. We got to save money. You know, everybody has something going. But if somebody is your friend, and you're inviting them and you need them and you need, like, if somebody's your friend, you obviously need them to show up. And I think that you can show up in different ways. Sometimes you can just show up and have fun. Sometimes you're showing up and you're celebrating. Sometimes you're showing up and just chilling. Sometimes you're showing up and just, you know, catching up. But sometimes you're showing up so your friend can cry on your shoulder. Sometimes you're showing up to pick your friend up. Sometimes you're showing up to carry the load. And you're not gonna know any of those things if you don't put in the work and like have some type of constant communication with your friend. And so I just think in general that I don't care what stage of life a friend is in, if they are your friend, unless it's excruciating circumstances, if they don't make time for you, that is a red flag. I have friends, like I said, that are married, friends that have children, friends that are dating, friends that are single. And obviously, my friends that are single can show up for me more frequently than my friends that are married. But my friends that are married and have children, they still show up. They're still available. They will get a babysitter and turn up, and it's all good. So I think that low maintenance, the term low maintenance friendships are a cop out. I don't think they're healthy and I don't think they're viable. Because if you're not showing up to me for me, then I just think that's not healthy. But I will say the caveat to that is if you feel like your friend is acting funny, check in with them. Because I've checked in with friends and sometimes they have been acting funny and we had to let that go. And then sometimes I've checked in with friends and they've just had a lot going on and they didn't want to burden me until I ask them. So the other side of the coin is you got to be willing to meet them halfway, to check in on them, and to do the work too. The same way that you would check in with your partner and give Thomas 3 to 4 to 5 to 6 chances, I feel like you should give your friend the same grace because at the end of the day, you know if somebody's doing you wrong, you know your friend. But that's just my personal opinion. What do you think, friend? Like, do you think they're toxic? Do you think they're healthy? Like, what are your thoughts?
I have but quite a few thoughts about this. When you were talking, Shelby, reminding me of something I saw on social media where it was like, I think it was on Twitter or X or whatever it is now. But this group of girls, they were all beautiful. I mean, hair laid, baby hairs laid, lashes laid. They was all going out to dinner for the aesthetic, right? So the discussion about that was all of those friends looked alike. Like they had, and this girl was saying that she only invites friends for the aesthetic, right? And so I feel like what this whole question really comes down to is evaluating your friends and knowing how each person friends, because that aesthetic, those could be friends that she does text and talk to all the time, every single day. But when, like you said, the rubber meets the road, when it's really time to show up, when life is life, and are they really going to be there? So for me, I think evaluating your friends, low or high maintenance, really comes down to what type of friend are they to you. Because for me, I am the type of friend that I will not call you every day. That's just never been me. But if you call me at 3 a.m. in the morning and you need me to show up, everybody knows I will show up. And I'm not saying that as like an excuse of anything, but I consider myself a good friend, but I don't require a lot in terms of like if I don't talk to you every single day, if I don't talk to you every week, that doesn't mean that I'm like, oh, well, you ain't my friend no more. Oh Lord, we got some issues. That's just me personally. I don't require to hear from my friends every day. But my friends will know what type of friend I am to them individually. I feel like you got to know your friends and how they friend with you, if that makes sense. So, like I said, there could be friendships that call you all the time and want to talk to you all the time, but then when you and need something from you, but when you need something from them, are they there? And so I do have a story to share with you. I did, I always pray over my friendships and my connections. Side note, you should always do that. Like you pray for that man, pray for your friends and connections. So with me, I got in a place where I was like, okay, God, connect me with people that you want me to connect with. And so I was praying for new friends and all that. Met someone, and she was a really nice person, of course. We actually met at church, and she actually started to cling to me really, really fast. Like I had only met her at church like a couple of months, and she started to like really cling to me, asking me for favors, calling me all the time, wanting to meet up all the time. And it made me retreat. And, because I'm really not that kind of friend to people. I feel like I'm not a clingy, call you all the time, ask for favors type of person or type of friend. And so for me, it was like, ooh, I don't know if it was because I didn't know her like that. So it kind of made me like, ooh, girl, I don't know. Because I know that like the friends that I have now that I've had for years, I don't feel that way towards them because I know them. But if it's somebody new, I was like, oh, I don't know if this friendship is going to work because I'm more on the low maintenance side as far as like, girl, if I don't talk to you on Tuesday, that don't mean we're not friends. But then, like you said, Shelby, we're all adults, of course. We all have different lives, different things going on. So it's natural for people to just kind of be in their own world. So for me, all I'm saying, I'm hoping I'm making sense when I'm talking, but I feel like there's always different types of friendships. And so you really just have to know your friends for who they are. And you will know if you have a good friend or not. Because, like I said, the most important things that matter is if you need them to talk, if you need them when something has gone on in your life and they are there, they don't ask you no questions about, why you calling me? It's late. Like, what you need now? Like, if you know that you can call that friend at any time of the day, it don't matter. That is your friend. And so also for me personally, like I mentioned, I feel like I'm on the low maintenance side as far as like, I don't require a lot. I don't feel like you need to be worried about me, but I feel like I am a present friend. So that is the difference between, like I mentioned earlier with the girls that have this aesthetic, like, yeah, they may be showing up to the party. They may look all cute. Y'all might have been texting the whole month or week about this situation, but are they present when it matters? That to me makes a good friend. So I feel like all in all, everybody friends differently. You just got to know your friends. Just know your friends and pray for them. So that would be my take on low maintenance friendships.
Love that friend. And I think like one of like just to piggyback off what you were saying, I think the most important like thing like out of what you said and what I said that like really lines up and that I just kind of want to highlight is like evaluating your friends and are they really there for you? Like are they showing up in a way? Are they showing up for you? Because I think a lot of times friendships can be one-sided. Like I've had people comment all the time about like just how amazing our friend group is. Like how amazing our friends are, how genuine they are, how kind they are. Like everybody want to get, like everybody want to pick, like be a part of the clique, but they don't get to because I feel like we've really taken the time and energy to cultivate it. I feel like we have like a really tight-knit group. And then they're like a little bit, there are a few people that are like on the outskirts of the group. And then everybody else is associates. And I think that you just have to evaluate the people that are around you. And I think deep down, you know that you are, if somebody's being a good person to you. I remember, I'll tell the story and then I'll end it here with this segment. But me, Erica, and another one of our friends, we were having a conversation one day and we were just talking about friends. And we were talking about something. We were talking about a certain individual. Well, we were just having a conversation about something. And Erica and my other friend were like, girl, why aren't you upset about this? I was like, because everybody friends different. Like, everybody not gonna friend like y'all friend. And I understand that. And I think that when you take a step back and evaluate your friends and understand where they fit in your life, you'll take things less personally. Because I can attest, Erica is one of those people that you can call at any time, and she is going to pick up. She is going to be present, and she's going to be like, what is it? What do you want to do? What do you need? And there are very few people like that. And so I love that about her. Erica's correct. You do not have to text her all the time. You do not have to hit her up all the time. I'd be the one annoying her about random memes and things that I find and tea that I find. But that's what I add. I think that friendship and sisterhood is such a beautiful thing, and I may not have gotten it right yet with the love of my life, but I have really gotten it right with friends. I love my friends. They are some of the best individuals I know. Not only are they beautiful, they are smart, they are intelligent, and they are bad bitches. And they're just genuinely good people. Like I feel like they're the family that I had the opportunity to choose, and I feel like they add so much value to my life. And I just pray that everybody experiences friendship, sisterhood, brotherhood, whatever hood it is, and that you have people around you that are kind, that are genuine, that are God-fearing, and that have your back. Because as life has life, these past few years, when I look back, even when things were tough, I had people that were standing in the gap for me and like pulling up and filling in and giving me grace when I didn't have it at all. And so that's what I wanted to add. And that's all I got.
Yes. But I do want to make it clear for both Shelby and I, we're talking about friendships, not relationships, because we don't play low maintenance men. Okay. Let's just put that out there. You got to
Period.
call us every day. You better check in every day. I ain't going 2 and 3 days without hearing from my man. Okay.
Girl, 2 or 3 hours. What are you doing? You had a break.
Not for real. Just wanted to put that out there. So all right, so let's keep it moving to the next segment, which is the journey. So this is when Shelby and I will talk about our experience living in corporate America or experiences with building our brand, all things melanin. So today we're going to talk about our 9 to 5. Okay, so we both have a 9 to 5 and work in corporate America. We've discussed our experience being the only in the room. So let's dive deeper and discuss how we're able to navigate these spaces professionally and in a way that is healthy and manageable for us.
You want to go first, friend?
Sure. I feel like I only have one or two things to say about this. So I don't really know if there is a formula that I have to say, like, this is how I manage being the only one. I feel like, honestly, for me, it's a challenge all the time, because I'm always aware that I am the only one. So in a way, as a Black woman, I feel like I have to go the extra mile, put a little bit more on, if that makes sense, to be able to manage on the level that others that are don't look like me do. So what keeps me thriving or what keeps me healthy in a professional space like that is having other things outside of corporate America where I'm not the only one in the room, but I'm with people that look like me that can relate to my daily things, right? So, for example, I have organizations that I'm a part of outside of work, because I also do interior design. So I'm a part of a Black interior designers group. And so we have meetups and we have things where we discuss like just being Black in that industry. But it's to me, it's a healthy balance between you're always the only Black girl here and then going into other organizations that I'm a part of that I can relate to the people that I'm around, if that makes sense. So another thing with me is my entire life, I have grown up being the only girl in the room, the only girl in the class, the only Black girl in the class, the only girl with the braids, in class. So I can't really say I'm used to it because, like I said, it's a challenge all of the time. And especially as you progress in corporate America, it's always another challenge. And then especially for me, I'm in a male-dominated field in corporate. So, I mean, I do have women there, but again, I would be the only Black woman. So it's really like two things. First of all, you're Black, and then you're a woman. So it's hard to carry that. And people may not see it that way, but it is, because I'm not saying I'm not walking into that space myself, because I am, but I'm walking into that space knowing in the back of my mind, like, you can't do everything they're doing. You can't say everything that they're saying. You can't react how they react. You cannot, like, either that's been implanted in my brain somehow, or because I don't know why we think that way. I feel like I'm not the only one that thinks that way, but I'm just always aware is what I'm trying to say. That's how I manage it. I'm always aware. And then the healthy part is just having or other organizations that I am around people that look like me and can relate. Even with our blog or our podcast, me and you can relate because we go through those same types of experiences. So the last thing I will say is, like I said, I was always the only one, the only Black girl in class, only whatever. So it's kind of like when I went to visit my cousins who went to an HBCU. When I visited their campus, I was like in shock. I was like, oh my gosh, everyone is Black. Yes. Like, but I came from a place where everybody was not Black. And I was the only Black one. So it was almost the opposite reaction. Like, girl, you are Black. Why are you shocked that everyone's Black here? Because I was never in that type of environment. So I guess all I'm saying is being in those spaces professionally, I'm always aware. And that's how I manage it. What about you, Shelby?
First of all, I loved everything you said, and I think that is so relatable. So thank you for sharing that. I think like you, I'm not necessarily used to it, but it is what it is, and I'm numb to it. I think it is what it is. I think that like just being in our respective fields, we're not gonna see necessarily people of color, women of color, Black women in our fields. And I used to be really discouraged about it, but now I'm just kind of like, okay, like whatever, it is what it is. I think that I've just become numb to it and I've just accepted it. And like Erica said, like it's not that I'm not myself in corporate America, but I'm not a watered down version, but I'm a toned down version. Like if you see me with my friends, I'm laughing, I'm smiling, I'm joking, but like I'm very keeping it cute, keeping it professional. And so that's one way. But I think a way that I'm able to navigate being the only one in the room, I think we've said this before, and as women, and then you add on being a minority woman, you already know that you have to always be on your toes, you have to always be on, and you always have to always be prepared. So any room that I go in, I try to be overly prepared. I have notes and receipts. About everything. And then I'm also, I feel like, I think Erica mentioned this, like I feel like I overcompensate sometimes. Like I'm overly happy, I'm overly like ha ha, overly hee hee, and that can be really draining. But I think another thing that helps me navigate being the only in the room is that like I don't let that consume my life. Like I genuinely do enjoy my job. I like my job. I like my colleagues. I respect my colleagues, but like Erica, I am in a male dominated field, that's dominated by white men. And I think that in general, that can be very intimidating. It can be very overwhelming. But one thing that I stress a lot is that if I'm in the room, I belong in the room. And if I belong in the room, what I have to say and what I have to input is important. And I deserve to say that I listen to you, you're going to listen to me. And thankfully, I'm in an environment where my ideas, my work ethic, it doesn't go unnoticed. And that's beautiful because that has not always been the case. That's the first thing. I think the second thing is just having like supportive friends. I think recently, as my friends and I have been in corporate America. I calculated the other day, girl, I've been in corporate America for almost 10 years, a decade, because I started working like right out of college. Like I started work on a Monday, I graduated on a Friday. And I think the beautiful thing is that a lot of my friends, like I said, they're all beautiful, intelligent, smart, multiple degrees, women, multi-passionate. But I think it's so interesting that when we have these conversations about corporate America, how even though we all do separate things, like we're all so similar in our experiences. And so, in addition to what Erica said, like having passion projects outside, I think it's really good to have a group of friends that you can have these conversations with. And even if you aren't in the same field or doing the same thing, I think it's beautiful because you can have these open dialogue and really be yourself. And I found that a lot of times I can take things from my friends that they're doing and that they're learning and that they're knowing. I think that's beautiful. I think the last thing that I would add is I would check with your job to see if you have any type of resources available to you. One thing that my job has is they have ERGs, and so which are employee resource groups, and we have different ones. There's one for veterans, there's one for Pride, there's one for young career professionals, women, and they really just recently started a Black women's one. When I tell you, when I went to the Black Women's ERG for the first time, I did not know that many Black women worked throughout the organization. It was so beautiful that I literally teared up. Literally, like women of all backgrounds and have been there from various ages, times, skin in the game. So I would definitely to see look to see if you have any resources at your job or any groups that can support that. And if not, like maybe looking to seeing if that's something that you can champion and start, because it is beautiful knowing that there are women that have a background like me and being Black women, that are there. And although our experiences may not be the same, it's different because, for instance, if something occurs and happens, and I tell my colleague, I think that they can sympathize and empathize with me. But depending on what it is, it's nice to have somebody that you know gets it. Like, I have a homegirl. I call her my homegirl at my job, my work homegirl. And she's a really good checks and balances for me, because if something happens, girl, I'll email her, I'll call her, and I'll be like, am I tripping? Am I crazy? Like, did I overthink this? And she'll be like, yeah, girl, you tripping. Or no, girl, that's not it. And I think it's just good to have somebody to relate to and to play off of. And so, as I ramble, because y'all know that's what I do, I think when you're the only in the room, like, fortunately, unfortunately, it is what it is. But I think that you have to, outside of work, like, pour into yourself and build yourself and have boundaries. Like, when you're at work, be all in. Do what you got to do, but take your breaks and take your lunch. But when you're not at work, don't be at work, and make sure you're bringing things, doing things that bring you joy and happiness. Because when you pour into yourself and you have balance, I feel like you're able to be more productive, and you're able to stand out, and you're able to just do a good job. So that's what I would say.
Yes, so I would like to just remind all the Black women, Black men, women of color, men of color, women that are in a space where you are the only one. Remember, you're doing a phenomenal job. Okay, that's all I wanted to say. So let's keep it moving to our mentor moment. This is when Shelby and I will read a listener's letter, and then we're going to give our advice on it. So the letter reads, "Hi, Shelby and Erica. I love you both so much, and I need y'all's advice. I've been on a dating hiatus for quite a while. I had gotten to a point where I needed to heal and let go of past people and situations before I felt ready to date again. I feel like I've done the work and I'm ready to date again. So with that said, I recently met a guy and we've been talking and getting to know one another for the past few weeks, and we're gearing up to go on our first date in the upcoming week. It's been a while since I went on a first date, so how do you think I should prepare for this first date, and what are things I should ask or be aware of on the first date to get to know him better, but not do the most and be overwhelming?
I think this is such a good question. First of all, congrats on doing the work in healing and taking some time for you, because I think that is so hard to do, but I think it's so needed in order to be a happy and whole person and complete person on your own. So kudos to you. And also congrats on the new date. I think dating should be fun. I feel like a lot of times we make it so serious, and it is a serious thing because who you choose to partner with is one of the most important decisions that you will ever make. But like, I feel like as a unit, that we've made it unfun, and it's supposed to be fun. First off, what I will say, if you're going on a first date, please, like, these are just things that I do, and I think that you should take precautions. Look that man up and do some research, baby. If you can, run a background check, because people are crazy. I watched that series on TikTok, Who the Fuck Did I Marry? So please do your research. Please. It's not even snooping at this point. It's the preliminary. Do you pass it? Does he have a mugshot? Is he broke? Is he living with his baby mama? Does he have kids? Like, I just think that you should know those things, because sometimes people are honest. And if they're not going to be honest with you and you found it out, that's a red flag. You can go ahead and date it at the beginning. Two, I don't think that you should tell a person where you live or what area that you live in. I just think that's a safety precaution. I also think that you should meet the person. I think that you should meet the person at a mutual place and space, not your place, not his place, preferably like either middle ground, or if he's willing to come closer to you, that would be amazing, but don't ever go that close to him, because girl, what? So meet him at a mutual space and place. Also, tell at least one person where you are and who you're with. And if you can, send them a picture and drop your location and share your location. Also, I did this with Erica. Like, have a safe word. Like, I remember a couple years back, I hadn't dated for a while, and I went on a date, and I called Erica on the way to the date, and I said, Erica, if I text you some stars, call me and start yelling in the phone. Get dramatic with it. Get really dramatic with it. I said, but if I don't text you, just know that things are okay, and I'll text you when I leave. And that ended up working out really well. And it actually went so good that Erica literally texted me, hey, girl, you need to go to the house because I'm sleepy and I'm ready to go to bed. It's midnight. I can't stay up past this. I'm trying. But I think that you should, tell a friend, have a code word, and just take safety precautions. I think that I obviously be honest, but I think that sometimes we overshare, and some people can be weird. So I think just use intuition. So we've talked about safety precautions. Also, drive your own car or Uber. I'm just really like weird about people knowing where I stay. So those are just my suggestions. Honestly, I think on the first date, like, I think it should be a mix of like asking questions, but I think it should be a mix of having fun. So I also suggest that, like, if you can, like, doing something active, like going to Topgolf, going bowling. I don't think dinner is a bad thing either. Like, just being in a space and place to where if you're not comfortable, you can leave. Like a movie, you're not gonna get to talk. Like, something like where you're not able to interact. And I think it's important too. I think that you can ask important questions or semi-important questions on the first day, like knowing if a person, I think it depends, because I have had dates where we've just talked about fun things and kind of skated around it. And I've had first dates where we really got to the business and we got to the money and we put it all on the table. And I think it depends. I'm also a firm believer in the first conversation. I've said this so many times, is trying to let the guy lead. Because let me tell y'all something, if you shut up, he will just start talking and giving you things. But I think that you have to be open and engaging and have a conversation. And I understand that some guys don't talk as much, so you may have to lead the conversation. But I think, asking about, like, his occupation, what does he do? Does he enjoy it? Asking if that man has children. Ask if he has children, and if he does, how many? Asking that man, is he single? Asking that man, is he available? Asking that man, is there anybody that thinks that they're with him? That's important. That's important. That's a good one. But I also just think about, and I don't think you necessarily have to go like super, super deep, but like just finding out if that person, what are they looking for? And that could be, I think, what are they looking for? Are they looking for marriage? Are they looking for a fling? Are they looking for a booty call? Are they looking for a threesome? Like, what is it like? Like, just knowing what that is. And I think asking open-ended questions. I think a lot of times we'll ask people yes or no questions, but like try to ask questions in a way that allows them to expand. If I were you, I would write down things that are really, really important for me and a person. And based off that, maybe crafting some open-ended questions that are a little bit on the lighter side, and asking those. And I'm not saying don't sit up there and just be like, how many children do you have? What year did you graduate? Just asking him like, just like, don't be like a robot. Don't be like a drill sergeant. I think just keeping it light and fun and open-ended, and engaging is gonna be good. And I think at the end of the day, like going there with the best intentions, show up fine as fuck, like we know you are, sis, and have a good time. And I think at the end of the day, like be honest with yourself. Did you have a good time? Did you give advice? Did you think he was attractive? Like, is this something that you want to do? Like, do you even want a second date? But if he want a second, do you want a second date? Like, I think just go in, have a good time, take safety precautions. Find out a little bit of information, do some preliminary research. And then I think from there, you can, decide if it's something that you want to do. But that's what I would do. But I hope you have fun.
Yes, I think that is all super great advice, especially along the safety lines, because people is weird. It's weird out here. First of all, I like to also congratulate you on healing and doing the work. That is not easy. Okay, so kudos to you on that. And what I realize is that when you have done the work and you heal, you start to recognize the red flags quicker. Because when you get with someone, you'll be like, I've seen this before. So when you are healing or healed, you start operating out of a different perspective. So good for you. So this should be different for you, right? So the number one thing I would say is be yourself, completely yourself, okay? And especially with this being your first date, I feel like everyone tries to put on their best, right? Or put on their best face for, but let me tell you something, that real person always gonna come out. But I want you to be yourself at all times and ask the questions that you want to ask. Like, obviously, what Shelby was saying, don't sit there and it be a whole interrogation like you, the police. Like, just make the conversation natural, let it flow, especially being the first date. You may have had good conversation over the phone, FaceTime, texting, but it's a completely different story when you meet someone. So just pay attention to, is the vibe still the same? Do you click? Do you connect? Like, don't try to force anything, including being yourself. Also, just be very observant and look for the green flags. Okay, let's not go in there all like, looking for red flags. Like, obviously pay attention to that, but pay attention to the green flag. So a green flag would be like, is he like paying attention to you? Is he attentive, or is he in his phone the whole time? Is he actually listening to what you're saying? Is he actually asking questions to get to know you better? Or does he have a wandering eye and he in his phone and he ain't really paying attention? Is he chivalrous? Did he plan the date? Did he, open the doors? Did he pay for the date? Is he expecting you to pay for your half? Like, things like that are all really good signs that I think we need to pay attention to more of. And so, side note, friend, when you mentioned who did I marry, I need you to give me the cliff notes on that because I don't have TikTok, but I've seen people talking about it. So let me know. But seriously, you have to get a chance to. I do agree with the background and like looking him up. I have done that before. Men have told me I work here, I do this. I have went right to LinkedIn to see if they really work there and do that. So also, I will share a quick story about like something weird, with my experience. So I have met someone out. I was just at like this event with one of my friends and met this guy. He was really like asking me questions, like he wanted to get to know me. And so I was just being nice. Another thing, if you meet somebody out, you always maintain your nice and politeness, okay? Because if people don't like rejection, okay? So I'm not saying if he's being weird with you to stay there, but I'm just saying, like, just be mindful of how you politely turn somebody down. So I politely turned this young man down, and later I feel like, let me back up. I ended up giving him my number before I knew he was weird. So my point in telling you this is later he looked my number up in Cash App. Cash App, well, for me, it has my name, like my whole name. It doesn't have like a, well, it didn't now. I changed it because of this incident. He was able to look my number up in Cash App and it said my full name, right? And so he looked that full name up in Facebook. He found my full name in Facebook and somehow messaged my friend that I was with that night and looking for me because I didn't respond to the message he also sent me via Facebook. So I'm saying all of this to say, be very careful with who you give your number out to. If you don't feel like you want to have a second date with this person, then find, just already be prepared of like, kind of like what Shelby said, kind of like let a friend know where you're going to be at. Let a friend know who he is, where he's at. I'm not trying to scare you, but I'm just saying you do have to be mindful. Kind of have like, if something goes left or something feels weird, pay attention to that. Because that's always important. We could be so excited that we're going on a date and, you know, it's going to be great, which I hope that it is, but just always just kind of be aware. So that's what I would say. And also I would suggest if you already have something planned like dinner, I would suggest like always try to do something fun too, because it doesn't have to be such a serious situation. Something fun and light, because you're literally just getting to know this person. So that would be my advice. So good luck. So, if anyone out there has a question that you want us to answer, send us an email to allthingsmelanintv@gmail.com or slide in our DMs on IG at allthingsmelanin_. So, today we're going to leave you with words of encouragement.
Okay, so our words of encouragement come from Galatians 6:9. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessings if we don't give up. When I read this verse, it made me think about times in my life where I have prayed and I have prayed and I have prayed and I have cried and I have prayed and I have journaled and I have manifested and I have prayed and multiply that at times 10. And things haven't happened, and I've been discouraged. And I think that sometimes we think that we can microwave our plans, microwave our life, and that God is a genie, and He is not. And I do believe in prayer. I do believe in manifestation. I do believe in doing the work. And I think that it's a combination of a lot of things, but I feel like this is a really good reminder that if you do what you're supposed to do, then God is gonna finish it and carry out the rest. I think that a lot of times we forget that sometimes whatever you're believing and hoping for, like it takes like 10 years to become an overnight celebrity, or it takes a significant amount of time to reach your ultimate goal. But the only way that you reach your ultimate goal is if you get 1% better every single day. If you do something every single day or every single week or every single month that gets you closer to your goals. It's the little things in life that add up to the big things to get you there. And so I just wanted to remind you and encourage you that if you're feeling discouraged, I feel like it's normal. I feel like that's human. And I feel like we're always, you know, we've all been there and we'll be there more than once. But I just wanted to remind you that, like, don't get weary, don't get tired. My mama always tells me, she was like, you may give out, but don't give up. Which to me means you may get tired and you may have to pause, you may have to stop, you may have to take a nap, but do not give up and keep going. And this Bible verse is a reminder that when you put in the work, when God sees fit, and when you've done the work, when you've done all you can do, that God will make it happen, but He'll make it in His own time. So you have to sow before you can reap. So I challenge you, and I challenge myself to ask, what are you doing to get you to your goal? And if you can't think of anything, then think of one thing that you can do at least every week to get you to your goal. Be consistent, be disciplined, and pray for it, and do what you can do, and God will do the rest.
I love that, friend. Just to add a little bit more to it, I think I've mentioned a Maverick City song before in one of our shows, but I just love them. But I will share the song "Wait on You." It definitely sings about God renewing your strength when you're tired of, doing good. But for me, the part that hits me the most is at the right time, we will reap a harvest. So for me personally, I can't speak for everybody, but my tiredness and frustration comes from me, well, obviously me being frustrated, but just having my own time in my head. Like, oh, well, I thought that I would be here by now or doing this by now. And so that is my own timing. And so that's what causes me personally to get tired of waiting or to have frustration. But what you said about sowing and reaping reminded me of my mom and I are actually going to start a garden. Now, I ain't no Susie Homemaker, but I'm going to try it. Okay. I don't know if we're going to plant tomatoes or apples or anything, but it reminded me that about a harvest because the day that you plant the seed is not the day that you reap the fruit. Right. So if you think about that with your dreams or your goals or, your aspirations, the day that you say, "Hey, I'm doing this," is not the day that you're going to see the results. And so you have to give it time. And in order for things to grow, there has to be water. So that may mean you going through a storm. It might be some rain. But at the right time, let me tell you something, you don't want nothing too early for you. And God is never late. So that's all I would add to that.
I love that, friend. That was beautiful. Well, I'm gonna pray a song out. So close your head, bow your close your just close your eyes. Here we go. Heavenly Father, we come to you as humble as we know how. First and foremost, not to ask you for anything, but to thank you for everything. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your mercy. We pray for each and every person that has taken the time out to listen to this podcast. We pray that whatever they're needing, whatever they're believing, whatever they're needing reassurance in, we pray that we were able to provide that. We pray that you would cover them. We pray that you would keep them, and we pray that you would bless them. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you would make a way out of no way. We pray, Lord Jesus, as they sow seeds to accomplish their dreams, to accomplish their accomplishments, or just to get better, we pray that they would reap a harvest. We pray that you would just lead and guide them in the way that you would want them to go. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.